A headline in the Vancouver Sun from about a month ago read, Samaritans rescue Vancouver seniors with health issues struggling in a building without cooling. When a heat dome had settled over the Lower Mainland, this article described how several senior citizens in our city who were in distress received two nights of accommodation in an air-conditioned hotel as a gift from two complete strangers. Also in the news this past March, another headline read, Good Samaritan praised after saving a drowning man in a North Vancouver park. A stranger had performed CPR on an injured man in Lynn Canyon. We're in a sermon series right now about the parables of Jesus. In this series, we're exploring the great teachings of Jesus told through his stories. And today we're going to be looking at the parable of the Good Samaritan. This story of the Good Samaritan resonates with many in our culture, and even with people who don't share faith in Christ, as we can see from these two recent news headlines that we just looked at. In the book of Luke, in chapter 10, in the New Testament part of the Bible, we find the parable of the Good Samaritan that Jesus shared with people for the first time about 2,000 years ago. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Well, what is written in the law, he replied. How do you read it? He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. You have answered correctly, Jesus said. Do this and you will live. But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? In reply, Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. And then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? The expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. Jesus told him, go and do likewise. In this parable, a religious expert is asking Jesus how he can inherit eternal life. That is a quality of life and everlasting life. He's also looking to test Jesus' understanding of Scripture. And Jesus turns the question back to the expert in the law, who then answers by saying that people can find eternal life by loving God and by loving our neighbors as ourselves. Jesus affirms that the man has answered correctly and admonishes him to live this way. But the religious expert realizes that loving our neighbors as ourselves is pretty challenging. And so the expert in the law tries to justify himself by asking Jesus, who is my neighbor? He was likely trying to limit the scope of who is considered his neighbor in order to feel like this way of life is easier to attain. It's at this point that Jesus shares the story of the Good Samaritan. The setting in this parable is a road going from Jerusalem to Jericho in Israel, which had a reputation in Jesus' time as being a dangerous location. This road went from almost 2,600 feet above sea level to 800 feet below sea level and was about 17 miles long. This winding downhill path went through the desert and was surrounded by caves, which made good hideouts for robbers. And sure enough, this is what happened to the man while traveling down the road. While making the journey, possibly by himself, thieves attacked and robbed this man, leaving him unconscious and half dead. Now, the first two people to see the injured man on the side of the path were religious leaders, And yet they chose not to stop and help the man, but rather passed by him on the other side. There is a sense that we would think that religious leaders would stop to care for and show mercy towards the wounded person. And we don't know why they chose not to help out, but here are a few possible reasons we can consider. They may have felt it was too dangerous. It could have been a trap, and there may have been thieves hiding around the corner waiting to ambush anyone who stopped by. Or perhaps they felt too busy to get involved. They may have had responsibilities to take care of. Or perhaps the wounded person was part of a race or culture that they felt animosity towards. At the time that Jesus shared this parable with people, there was a hatred between Samaritans and Jews, which had been going on for hundreds of years. The third person in this parable is the one who has become known as the original Good Samaritan. Jesus describes this person from Samaria as feeling compassion for the injured man, treating his wounds, and generously providing for longer-term care. The way that Jesus lifted up the man from Samaria as an example to follow would have been surprising or even appalling to the original audience who first heard this story, since many of them looked down upon Samaritans at that point in history. And yet, the Samaritan is the one who is seen to be loving his neighbor as himself. And at the conclusion of this story, Jesus calls people to go and do likewise. This calling is also recorded in Mark 12 in Scripture, where the idea of loving our neighbors as ourselves is described by Jesus as being the second most important commandment. But loving our neighbors as ourselves is often easier said than done, right? Do we find ourselves loving our neighbors as ourselves on a consistent basis? I invite you for a moment now to picture the scene in this parable of the Good Samaritan on the windy downhill path through the desert. Who can you identify with most in this parable? Do you picture yourself as the Good Samaritan going out of his way to help the stranger on the road? Or would you be most like the injured person? Or maybe like one of the first two people who walked past the wounded man? And these are hard questions to consider. You know, do we sometimes feel reluctant or too busy or too wounded ourselves to help others in need? Or do we sometimes feel too afraid to help out, considering the risks and dangers associated with becoming involved? Or are we sometimes unwilling to help out others who are different from us, racially, culturally, or in other ways? How can we find the strength and determination to fulfill our calling to love other people around us? A first step might be to consider our perspective and what we're focusing or centering our attention upon. In one of his sermons on this parable, Martin Luther King Jr. compared and contrasted these perspectives. He suggested that the first two people to walk past the wounded man were likely asking themselves, if I stop to help this man, what will happen to me? This is a focus or attention upon self. Martin Luther King Jr. goes on to say that the Good Samaritan likely reversed the question. The Good Samaritan likely asked, if I do not stop to help this man, what will happen to him? So this is a change in focus. This involves seeing the other and focusing on others. Perhaps the people who paid for a few senior citizens to stay in an air-conditioned hotel in the heat wave about a month ago were focusing on the others. Perhaps they were asking what would happen to these senior citizens with health issues if they didn't help out. Perhaps the man, referred to as a Good Samaritan this past March, was focusing on the drowning man and what would happen to him if he didn't stop to perform CPR. Henry Nouwen wrote about something similar in one of his books. He wrote about an old Hasidic tale, which I'll share with you now. There was a rabbi, a Jewish teacher, having a conversation with his students. How, said the rabbi, can we determine the hour of dawn when the night ends and the day begins? One of the rabbi's students suggested, when from a distance you can distinguish between a dog and a sheep. No, was the answer from the rabbi. Is it when one can distinguish between a fig tree and a grapevine? Asked a second student. No, said the rabbi. Well, please tell us the answer then, said the students. And the wise teacher said, it is when you can look into the face of another human being and you have enough light in you to recognize your brother or your sister. Until then, it is night and darkness is still with us. When we look into the face of another person, and if we see this person as a brother or sister, this shows that we are moving out of darkness. If we recognize others around us as brothers and sisters, this is a sign that we're walking in the light. Seeing the other and loving the other is part of how we find a life, this eternal life, with God's help. God wants to help all of us in this journey of loving our neighbors as ourselves. God wants to fill our hearts with his love, which can overflow towards others around us. Thomas Merton, the American theologian and social activist, describes it this way. As a magnifying glass concentrates the rays of the sun into a little burning knot of heat that can set fire to a dry leaf or a piece of paper, so the mystery of Christ in the gospel concentrates the rays of God's light and fire to a point that sets fire to the spirit of man. The gospel of Christ can set a fire in our spirits. It can set our hearts ablaze with God's love. And we can grow in our understanding and experience of God's love in a variety of ways in our everyday lives. We can encounter God and experience more of Christ through spiritual practices like prayer, meditation, fasting, reading scripture, and enjoying the beauty of God's creation outdoors. We can do this on our own and with others in community. And as we encounter God in our everyday experiences, and as we enjoy a vital connection with Christ, we are transformed, and his love can overflow through us to others around us. There are many needs here in our city and around the world in this season. Here in Vancouver, restrictions are lifting, and many feel that the pandemic might be coming to an end. The pandemic has been hard on many people. Some have lost jobs and businesses. Some may be experiencing anxiety and languishing mental health. Pandemics breed isolation. And some people are deeply longing for connections with people and yet may not feel comfortable gathering together with others. Some have experienced loss of loved ones and grief of various kinds. The pandemic has also been hard on so many around the world. Increasing numbers of people are experiencing poverty, and some nations don't have access to vaccines. In this season, as you experience God's love, are there ways that you can love other people? You may be able to reach out to someone who's very isolated, either online or in person. You may be able to help someone who is struggling financially or who is grieving. You may be able to share some resources with people around the world who may be affected by the pandemic even more than we are here in Canada. And so how can we find the strength to focus on the needs of others like Martin Luther King Jr. described? Or how can we move out of darkness and into the light and recognize fellow human beings as our brothers and sisters? How can we fulfill our calling from Christ to love our neighbors as ourselves? I find encouragement in this painting of the Good Samaritan created by Vincent van Gogh in the late 1800s. He's depicting the Good Samaritan assisting the injured man onto his donkey. And there are a few ways that we can see the Good Samaritan in this painting, and there are a few ways we can see the Good Samaritan in this parable of Jesus. Ancient church leaders, including Clement of Alexandria and Irenaeus in the second century, both interpreted the Good Samaritan in this parable as representing Jesus himself. They considered humankind to be represented by the injured person on the road. They taught that Jesus is the one who tends to and cares for needs and injuries that all of us experience. He's the one lifting each one of us up, placing us on the donkey en route to a place where we can heal. Christ mysteriously absorbed our sins when he died on the cross. He forgives our sins, he removes our shame, covers us with grace, and sets us free. Jesus cares about all the details of our lives here today, and he deeply cares about all of the situations that we find ourselves in. Many theologians today also share in this way of seeing Jesus as the ultimate Good Samaritan. So, do you experience Jesus as the ultimate Good Samaritan? Have you experienced his love and care for you? Do you see Christ as the one bringing healing and tending to any wounds you might have and embracing you? As we experience Jesus as the Good Samaritan, as we experience God's love for us, this gives us what we need to be able to extend God's love to our neighbors around us. By God's grace and by his Spirit, we can each make a difference in our city and in this world, even in this season, which is challenging for many. We are empowered to love our neighbors as ourselves because of what Jesus, the Great Samaritan, has done for us. Let's pray together. Living God, we thank you for your amazing and generous love for each one of us. We thank you for your presence with us. Lord God, we pray that each person would truly experience Jesus as a Good Samaritan. And as we experience your love, Lord God, we pray that we would share it with others here in Vancouver and around the world. And we pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.